You're back with Marco on Astro Talk on CITR 101.9 FM.
Hello, it's Thursday and it's time for Astro Talk. Sorry I'm late, but I think aliens abducted the bus drivers. There was no buses for a long time, so that's the only explanation. Because as the buses are never late, are they, in Vancouver? So many buses pass by me not in service. So I think the bus or the bus driver were abducted by aliens. So welcome. I'm continuing with my treatment of Kip Thorne's book, Black Holes and Time Warp. So to me, Kip Thorne is one of my heroes. And he was prominent in the development of black hole theory, along with a lot of other people. So today I'm going to finish up my topic. And starting with a review, a few shows ago, I started with how Chandra Shekhar, a grad student, traveled from India to England by boat. And on that trip, he worked out that after their lifetime, stars could implode and form neutron stars. So his ideas were not accepted, most prominently by his supervising professor Eddington, Arthur Eddington. So there was a lot of bumps on the road in the way to develop theories for black holes. And so in the 20s, 30s, and things in those years, nobody thought, well, there could be a thing such as a black hole. How could something shut itself off from the universe? How could something form a singularity with infinite gravity? It was impossible to think like that. Even Einstein, even though his equations led to that theory or led to that conclusion, he didn't want to accept the fact that black holes could exist. So in this previous century, physicists were wrestling with Einstein's equations and seeking the secret of what's inside a black hole, or do black holes exist? Are black holes a route to another universe? Are they singularities with infinite tidal gravity? In a black hole, does this happen? Is it the end of space-time and the birth of quantum foam? So nobody knew. There were no textbooks to open up and say, okay, this is what black holes are. So physicists proposed that there could be black holes, but a lot of physicists couldn't accept it. And inside the black hole, a physicist named John Archibald Wheeler posed a question to his students, and he said, look at the final stage of the gravitational implosion of a star. It might teach you about the fiery marriage between quantum mechanics and general relativity. So we went over this before when in World War II, prior to World War II and during World War II, the physicists their efforts were redirected to the war effort, and after World War II, to developing atomic bombs and hydrogen bombs. And what happened after? They realized that the mathematical computer simulations they worked out for the operation, or how to detonate atomic bomb or hydrogen bomb, they were the same equations and same computer simulations that told how stars could explode and form neutron stars or black holes. So then there was skepticism. There was a great group of physicists that couldn't accept the fact that black holes could form. In particular, some scientists in Russia, one group led by Kolitnikov and Michailovich, they said singularities could not form. They argued that in the West, where theoretical physicists had solved equations to show that black holes could form, they said that a singularity could not form because there was tiny random deformations in stars, and these deformations will grow large and halt the implosion of a star before a singularity could form. So there was a big rift, and just accepting the fact that there was black hole was difficult for many physicists. Would space-time be so strongly warped inside a black hole? Would the singularity be a place where there'd be infinite gravity? Well, physicists knew that usually when you solve something, you get infinity. It's a sign of a mistake. So the very fact that some of these equations were solved and the answer was infinity made the physicists suspicious. So we left off last time how the Soviets, Kolitnikov and his cohorts, were saying black holes or singularities could not form, where in the West they were saying they could form under certain conditions. So 1964, now I'll continue on from that. That was a kind of a review. So 1964 was a Roger. No, it featured someone named Roger, but it wasn't a Roger. 1964 was a watershed year because the mathematician who turned physicist, Roger Penrose, he brought the mathematics of topology into the study of black hole. And this revolutionized the math of black hole for theoretical physicists. So now we're going to go on and start in 1964. And my book is Kip Thorne, Space Warps and Black Holes. Black Holes and Space-Time and the Warping of Space. So his book was written in 1994. So I'm sure some of the things have developed and progress the theories, but some of them are very valid. So we're going to talk about singularities. Can they form? Is there a marriage between quantum mechanics, general relativity, where a new theory is formed, which is called quantum gravity? Well, this is a lot of speculation because how do we know if it's true? We cannot see inside a black hole. We cannot see the singularity. We can't see beyond the horizon of space-time. So there was a lot of questions. So I'm going to continue on in that vein. But first, I'm going to pause for a commercial. This is Marco. You're listening to AstroTalk. And when I get back, I'm going to talk more about the development of black hole theories. And this is all from Kip Thorne's book. I will come back after the break. You're listening to AstroTalk on 101.9.
Well-known pimp, narcotics king, big-time racketeer, back in full force.
This could be one of the big moments in your life. Don't make it your last.
Look, this thing might be bigger than even we think it is.
Do you need an upgrade to the soundtrack to your life? Perhaps a song from a film or a tune from TV? My name is Gap. Exploding Head Movies is here to give you sounds from the cinema, along with the songs that will be defining your future, and those forgotten classics that need a little rescue.
Yeah. Come on, baby. Come on. I won't let you down. Follow me.
Loading Head Movies, Monday, 7 to 9 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
This is Robin, the program manager at CITR 101.9 FM. You're listening to AstroTalk with Marco, the best astronomy program on the planet.
Put it in your purse and call.
On the telephone, she heard my voice. Tell me to pick her up in my Rolls Royce. If my Rolls Royce is not the ladies, then girl, I'm going to take you in my Mercedes. If my Mercedes would have full of a disease.
Welcome back. This is Marco on CITR 101.9. You're listening to AstroTalk, CITR's weekly astronomy talk show. So let's just make a brief review before we go on. So there was two groups in this debate about black hole theory. So this was the 60s. The Russians, more specifically, a professor named Kolitnikov and his cohort Michailovich, saw that infinite stretching and squeezing of something as it enters a black hole would, they saw a mistake in that. How can anything be infinite? So they argued that this was an idealized model from the West that singularities could form in black hole. So again, a singularity is the center of a black hole. It's a place of infinite density, and it's a point in space-time, but space-time breaks down there. So they said these idealized models from the West could not be trusted. They said their singularities could not form, and instead of implosion, you would have a explosion of something that was trying to form a black hole. So in the West, black hole theory had developed to a point, but as Kip Thorne says in his book, that in the West, theorists are, believe it or not, math is very important in physics. So in the post-World War II debate in theoretical physics, U.S. physicists had dominated this. But the U.S., and so argues Kip Thorne, had foisted onto the world their scandalously low mathematical standard. So Kip Thorne argues that most physicists were using the math of 50 years ago. And he also says many physicists, theoretical physicists, in their PhDs and postdoc and when they were working, they were emphasizing physical intuition and weren't using rigorous mathematics that would so help the development of black hole theories. So along comes Roger Penrose. His father was a doctor, and his mother, I believe, was a doctor as well. They were very disappointed when their son wanted to study mathematics. So that's what he did. Roger Penrose studied mathematics, and he studied for his PhD in mathematics, which was very different than what happens in the U.S. Since U.S. physicists dominated post-World War II theoretical physics, and since they didn't emphasize mathematical rigor, Kip Thorne argues they foisted onto the world their scandalously low mathematical standards. So along comes Roger Penrose. He is a PhD in mathematics. His brother was a physicist. He had a PhD in physics. So when the brother introduced Roger Penrose to another physicist after they talked, Roger Penrose was very impressed with physics, and he started merging his mathematical knowledge with physics. So when Roger Penrose looked at the black hole theory, he was a mathematician who had studied topology. So the topology is something maybe like geometry. It is concerned with shapes and how shapes are connected. But before Roger Penrose entered, there was not the mathematical rigor or the use of math rigorously, like, for example, when Albert Einstein was developing his theory of general relativity, he realized that a tutoring course or a tutoring round with Minkowski, who theorized the existence of space-time, helped Einstein develop his theory of general relativity. So the introduction of math was very important in general relativity and in the study of black holes. So without it, Einstein could not have developed his theory of general relativity. So in the 60s, when Roger Penrose was a mathematician, and he was like most Brits or most people in the United Kingdom, the physicists rigorously studied mathematics. And Kip Thorne, he emphasizes this point, or he asks this question: why did a British physicist like Roger Penrose think that topology was so important in the development of black hole theory, where U.S. physicists did not even consider topology? Well, Kip Thorne says U.S. physicists studied little mathematics, and the Brits a lot. So most British physicists were well versed in mathematics. They had a good background in mathematics. So when Roger Penrose studied black holes and he looked at them, his introduction of topology to study black holes opened up a whole new set of questions on black hole theory, and it became a key tool for physics gravitational research. So even though it brought foresight into the picture, it opened up a whole new set of questions. But there was no doubt, there's no argument that when Roger Penrose opened up topology and introduced it into the field, it took a few years to take root, but after that, it became the key breakthrough in gravitational physics research and black holes. So when Roger Penrose introduced this, there was a 1965 conference in London where the Soviet physicists were arguing that singularities could not form, and the Western physicists were at the other side arguing that singularities could form, but without the mathematics of topology, they could not develop their theory further. So after the 1965 conference, there are, as in all fields, there are personal issues and personal dramas. So, for example, when in World War I, when Chandrasekhar traveled from India to London to study under Eddington, Eddington lent Chandrasekhar his calculator, but he looked over his shoulder. And when Chandrasekhar, in a conference, tried to introduce his theory that stars could collapse, Eddington right away stood up and tried to quash the idea. So a lot of physicists believed in Chandrasekhar, but because Eddington had such prestige, they also had to consider that. So apparently Eddington and Chandrasekhar fell out and they didn't speak with each other, and this was a very painful time in Chandrasekhar's life. But later he received a Nobel Prize in physics. It could be many years later for his theory, but the point is, when in the 1960s, when the Soviets and the Americans were trying to develop black hole theory, the Americans had different schools of thought. They thought singularities could form, but there was conditions on these. There was Oppenheimer-Snyder singularity, which they said if an astronaut fell into a black hole, it would stretch the person infinitely long and infinitely are very narrow, so to a zero width. There was a BKL black hole theory. Belina, Kolitnikov, and Lifshitz from Russia, where they said everything gets stretched in a black hole, but there was only a tidal gravity at the singularity. And there was a Reiser Nordström solution, which if a black hole formed and a singularity formed, it would be its own little closed universe. It would be closed off from the world. So in the Biletnikov and the Belina Kolitna Lifshitz singularity, the stretch and squeeze on an astronaut would oscillate in different directions. So there was no unanimity on black hole theory. And there was no unanimity on a singularity or what would happen at the singularity. So this was the time when Roger Penrose introduced his theories to the world and included the use of topology to study black holes. And within a few years, the world accepted his theories. So his theories basically stated that a black hole could form, or a singularity could form, with any star, no matter what its shape. There would be a event horizon, and there would be a singularity at the center of the black hole. But there were still questions, whereas does everything, once it enters the black hole, get swallowed up by the singularity? Is there any route from inside the black hole to another universe? Maybe that was popularized in our culture as being a wormhole. What is the fate of all things that fall into the singularity? Does quantum gravity come into effect at any time in this process? Does quantum gravity come into effect when things first fall in or after? So, do random deformations or perturbations of the star before the collapse completely change the star's or black hole's interior? So, there was lots of questions, and black hole theory developed after, with people like Hawking, Penrose, Kip Thorne, and all these wonderful physicists. So I guess what I took away from all this was probably in the centenary of Einstein's discovery of general relativity, this is 100 years after, we accept as, I guess, a society, because little kids know what a black hole. We know what it is, and to us, it's a truth. We don't question it. But 100 years ago, when Einstein developed his theory, even he questioned, could there be a black hole? And a lot of this is couched in terms of Einstein's equations, and when you solve them, what do these solutions tell you? So, black hole theory developed over many years, and it was a kind of strange route, starting with Einstein's theory and him also questioning, not other people, but him questioning whether black holes could form. And then when black hole theory was introduced, as I've said many times, there was no textbook to go to say, okay, this is what happens before a star dies, during its death, and after, when it forms a singularity or forms a black hole. Theorists had to develop these models or these theories. When a black hole is called a black hole because we can't see it. Once light enters or anything enters, it cannot come back. It doesn't radiate any energy or any data. It doesn't transmit any data. So all this was developing a theory without any basically background, without any, I guess, in astronomy, if you see a star explode, you can measure things with telescopes. With a black hole, you can't really measure things directly. Things can be measured indirectly. For example, when gas goes into a black hole or something orbits the black hole cannot be seen, but how it affects the thing orbiting it can be measured. So black hole theory was developed, and without these amazing theorists, physicists, the smartest people around developing this theory out of, it seems, nothing, because you can't see a black hole. We have our theory and understanding of black holes, and the gravitational wave that was discovered, or that was announced to the world, it was discovered last year, but it was announced a couple of months ago. This all was from Einstein's general theory of relativity, where space-time is warped. Warping space-time, that's what this is all about. So this is all about Einstein's theories. So what are gravitational waves going to tell us in the future? Well, we'll see. Some physicists have likened it to discovering a whole new wavelength of light. It could give lots of discoveries. We don't know what the future holds. But a lot of this discussion in the past 3 weeks was about Kip Thorne's book. So hopefully I can go on from this, because in this year, in the beginning of this year, there were so many things, like the space shuttle. There was the anniversary of the, I think, the 30-year explosion of the Challenger space shuttle. So that distracted me. I changed my topic. Then it was the thing of gravitational waves when they were discovered. And then Kip Thorne came to UBC a few weeks ago, and it was amazing to hear him speak, because I bought his book 22 years ago, and I got him to sign it. So that was wonderful. So I try to introduce or try to give a timeline here, how black hole theory developed, how black holes are not like something. If I wanted to learn how to program a computer, or if I wanted to learn about the environment, I can pick up a book and learn about it. But black hole theory was something different. There was no theories on black hole except what came out of Einstein's general theory of relativity. And very few people at that time could understand it. And understanding the mathematics is difficult in itself. So it took a while for the theory of black holes to be developed. And a lot of things took place in there where people theorized things, but a lot of physicists could not accept these things. How could a region of space close itself off from the world? How could it be a zero point, a singularity with infinite gravitational pull where space-time fails to exist? Does quantum foam start to exist there? Is quantum mechanics and general relativity, are those two theories married inside the confines of a black hole, inside the singularity? Well, I guess we might find out in the future, but it's not something that is easily deduced. When the theory of black holes was developed, it's not like someone could pick up a book and say, oh yeah, black holes can form. Well, what was a black hole? Nobody knew. And how could anybody accept the fact that something could be squeezed infinitely small and cease to exist? So when something is inside the singularity of a black hole, space-time ceases to exist. Time, apparently, what Kip Thorne says, time continues, time fails to exist. It stops. Space exists, but in a completely different form. He called it a probabilistic foam or a quantum foam. Is that true, though? Well, I guess we'd have to ask Kip Thorne, and he could tell us what he thinks, but I'm not sure. I'm not a black hole theorist. So, but I hope you enjoyed this discussion of black hole theories, how they developed, and the human dramas involved in it, because there are a lot of human dramas and everything. So there's competition. And one thing that when the Soviets said a singularity couldn't form after a star explodes or implodes, when they heard Roger Penrose discuss his put topological mathematics or topology into it, it took them a few years, but they came around and they, in the end, published a paper or a book that said, yes, Roger Penrose was right and we were wrong. So that was particularly brave in the Soviet Union, where if you're wrong, you could get executed. You lose your job. So there was lots of bravado, a lot of competing theories from these amazingly bright people. And in the end, I think we have our theories of black holes. So thank you for listening. This is Marco. You listen to AstroTalk on 101.9.